spoke to his friends at Corinth. Though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all that I might win the more. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being without law toward God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. Some years ago, there was a very popular movie starring Robert De Niro and Billy Crystal called Analyze This. I can't recommend it to you. The language is atrocious. But the basic premise is quite amazing and interesting. Robert De Niro plays a very prominent mobster, high-profile criminal who sees his best friend shot down before his eyes and suffers a mental and physical breakdown. He enlists the help of a psychiatrist, Billy Crystal. And Crystal tells De Niro's character that he's breaking down because of all of the contradictions in his character. He says that he loves his wife, but he frequently cheats on her. He wants his children to be upright, yet he patterns for them evil. He wants to provide a good home for his family, but he provides for them through brutal machinations. The psychiatrist points out to the mobster he is breaking down physically and mentally because there is no unity in his being. There is such disharmony in his many selves, he can no longer sustain his personality. The De Niro character is fictional, but plenty of people are walking contradictions. I think of North Carolina Baptist, who is very prominent in the Christian morality movement. He went around the state fulminating about the need for virtue right up until the moment he was arrested for solicitation. He preached one message but lived another. I think of Scott Peck, who wrote the bestseller The Road Not Taken, stressing fidelity, integrity, discipline. But Peck's biographer said that he was not able to live any of those things. He couldn't take the road not taken. He frequently betrayed his spouse and his family. He preached a message he could not live himself. How many actresses making millions check into a rehab program that preaches austerity? How many athletes with six luxury cars put themselves under the influence of a spiritual guru who disdains materialism? People are walking contradictions. And Paul seems to be one more. He says, to the Jews, I live as a Jew under the law in order that I might win the Jews. To the Gentiles, who have no concept of the Hebraic law, I live as a Gentile that I might win the Gentiles. I have become all things to all people so that by all means I might save some. In so doing, he opens himself to the criticism that Paul is nothing but a chameleon who changes his personality and theological orientation according to the crowd that he's in. Paul says that might appear to be the case, but it's not. It's not. I become all things to all people, so by all means I might win some to Christ. Paul says, at my core, There is the unifying principle that I see myself as a recruiter, a reconciler, and an instrument of peace for Jesus Christ. That is the unifying principle of my being. Paul said, you want to understand all of my actions that seem contradictory? I am trying, by whatever means possible, to be obedient to the call of Christ, to recruit for the kingdom, to be an instrument of reconciliation, to be an instrument of peace. That is at my core. That governs everything I do. He is speaking to his friends in Corinth and to Christians everywhere. Because he understands that many of us are comprised of a host of loyalties. That we're trying to satisfy a variety of audiences. And he's saying if Christ, if your commitment to Christ and Christ's family is only one loyalty among a host of them, you will have no real peace. At the center of your being, there needs to be an obedience to the call of Christ, to be an instrument of recruitment, an instrument of reconciliation, an instrument of peace. If you look at the book of 1 Corinthians, which you're doing on Wednesday nights, you'll find Paul besieged with a host of questions. Is it okay to marry? Is it okay to divorce? Can women speak in church? Can we eat food sacrificed to idols? Can we speak in tongues? And he answers all of those questions in a variety of ways, but all of them flow out of a central principle. Do what makes you the most effective servant of Jesus Christ. If you need to marry to become the most effective servant of Christ, marry. If you need to divorce to become the most effective servant of Christ, divorce. Is it okay for women to speak in church? Sure. But may they do so in an orderly fashion because God is a God of order. Is it okay to speak in tongues? Of course. But have an interpreter because God is a God of clarity. Is it okay to eat food sacrificed to idols? Yes. But don't use your freedom in such a way that you undermine somebody else's faith. Do what you need to do to be the most effective servant of Jesus Christ. That is at the core of Paul's understanding of how to practice the faith. Think of a conversation I had some years ago with a rising legal talent in Charlotte. Brilliant young legal mind, and he said to me, Dr. Krimmer, my co-workers would be amazed to know that I am a Christian because my language and my conduct and my behavior at the office is very different from what it is here at church. And his personality was feeling the strain of trying to live two different sets of values. A prominent business leader came to my office to say, Dr. Krimmer, in the business world, I'm assertive, I'm energetic, I'm altruistic. But when I come home, I just want to be served. And he couldn't understand why he was experiencing different atmospheres. And I said, you're trying to live different ethics. You're trying to be different people, but you're not two different people. You're not three different people. You are one person. And your personality is breaking under the strain. How very different the testimony of an old man that some of you would know. He was a longtime chaplain at Furman named L.D. Johnson. L.D. was suffering from cancer near the end of his life, and one of his friends came to visit him, and he said to his friend, go get the book. And his friend looks up at a library of thousands of books, and he says, what book? And L.D. said, at this time in my life, there's only one book. Only one book. And his friend pulls the Bible. That's unity of being at one's core. What is at your core? What is at your core? That might seem a simple question, but the truth is many of us are different people in different spheres. Many of us are trying to please a variety of audiences. And we practice one ethic with our spouse, one with our children, one in the business world, one in our recreation, one in our church. And the strain of being all these different people, the strain of trying to please all the different audiences, can suck out who we really are. We can become empty at our core, and we lack all integrity. Who are you at your core? Is there a unifying principle? Is it a principle to Jesus Christ, and out of which that flows your relationship with your loved one, with your children, with your friends, with your family, with your co-workers, with your church? What is at your core? Paul says, I do all that I do, even if it seems contradictory to others, that I might by all means win some. I'm a Jew to the Jews and a Gentile among the Gentiles. By all means, I'm trying to be an instrument of recruitment and peace and reconciliation. When we try to be a variety of selves with a variety of publics, we lose the integrity of our own being. It's only when everything flows out of our obedience to Christ that then our relationship in all of our spheres of life become an act of worship. And they're tinged by the same behavior and comportment everywhere. When we try to go through life being a different person in every different sphere, we lose who we really are. What is at your core? Watch, Kramer, that's none of your business. Trust me. What's at your core will reveal itself. If there is anger at your core, people will know it. If there is confusion at your core, people will know it. If there is grief at your core, people will know it. If there's love and gentleness and kindness and grace at your core, people will know it. Apostle Paul writing to his friends and to say, you're worried about, is it okay for women to speak in church? Is it okay to eat food sacrificed to idols? Is it okay to marry? Is it okay to divorce? Is it okay to speak in tongues? The truth is, don't get worried about all of these things. They don't really matter. You're missing the point. The point is, we are gathered together to be instruments of peace and recruitment and reconciliation. When you examine your own faith, when you examine your own participation in the family of God, do you find that sometimes your worship of Christ is diffused by concerns over a dozen different matters that don't really matter? Are you at your core an instrument of recruitment and reconciliation and peace? Jesus spoke very forthrightly. You want to know the key to a successful life? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be yours as well. May we hear that advice from our Lord and take it to heart, that it might form the centerpiece of our being. Let us pray together. God, we try sometimes to be many different selves, trying to please and appease publics that are very different. But we should just have one self, a self that lives in obedience and service to you, and out of which all other allegiances flow. Through our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.